chapter 2. We're going to be in verse 16 in just a moment. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. I have waited since we began teaching in this great epistle that Paul penned to the church at Colossae there in Rome in prison to get to the section we're in right now. And I wish that I had a deeper knowledge, but there's a mystery behind all the things that Paul said here this morning because they're not exactly clear. So I'm going to teach it just as clearly, pardon me, as I know how. And this morning we're going to talk from these scriptures about heresy being exposed, if you will. Let me give you the definition of heresy. Heresy is a teaching that departs from the Bible in such a way as to overthrow the essentials of the faith. Now, we know that the attack that was happening on the believers at Colossae was the beginning of Gnosticism, if you will. It really, after Paul's death, when it moved into the first century, second century, man, it flourished, and it still continues today. Remember that, I am so sorry, but I'm having an allergy attack. And I know that it has to be an attack this morning because of what I need to say. Oh, thank you. Did you put something in that? Meaning cough medicine, you know. Gnosticism, the word gnosis, remember, the Lord help me, means knowledge. And they, everything they did was that secret knowledge, that hidden knowledge, and so forth. And, you know, when you think about this knowledge that they had, this secret knowledge, it was literally a godlike knowledge that was gained through mystical means. And that's what we need to concentrate on today, this morning. Now, so Paul writing from prison, Lord, let's pray real quick. Lord Jesus, you know, I know that you don't want me having an allergy attack right now. And I know that the wicked one, the powers of darkness, they'll do anything to stop this message. You know that, Father. I know that. So I don't care, Lord, if I cough 1,000 times. It doesn't matter to me. I just want this message to be preached this morning. So you do for me whatever you want. But Lord, please make sure this message is brought out. We ask it, we believe it, in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Amen. Paul, writing from his prison cell this morning, he who hath ears to hear, I beg you to hear the message this morning. This is the most important message that I'll be teaching in this entire epistle, loved one. You see, the church then and the church today, even this very moment, we are under major attack, and we are not under attack from the outside. We are under attack from people who call themselves believers. Do you understand? The attack is from within. Never forget that Colossians was written to believers. It wasn't written to the lost. Beginning this morning, verse 16, about heresy exposed. Paul says to us in the church at Colossae, he says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon are Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, are things that have already come, but the substance is Christ. We start out with this false teaching, this heresy this morning, a 2,000-year-old warning about diet and days, which actually is about legalism, loved one. So Paul the Apostle, what does he say? He says, so or therefore or since that we are completely complete in Christ, amen, from last Sunday, since we are completely accepted by God because we're in Christ, completely forgiven, completely saved, amen. Jesus is all that we need. Jesus is completely enough. Let no one sit in judgment of you concerning whatever, if I'm going to drink a Ozarka, Or if I'm going to drink tap water, does that make sense? We could put it like that this morning, bring it up to our terminology. Now, with all that being said, the word there, krino, or judge, krino means you become the jury, the judge, the executioner, you're all of it. And so that's what the Gnostics, what they were doing, they were sitting in judgment of these believers and judging them. So it's difficult here to discern. Is Paul talking about the law of Moses? In other words, unclean foods and clean foods, lawful foods and drinks and so forth. It's hard to discern it in the Greek, if you will. It is possible that Paul is not talking about the laws of Moses at all. And the reason I say that is that because Colossae wasn't a Jewish church, amen? It was a Gentile church. They weren't under the laws of Moses at all, as no Gentile is. So whatever the case, here's the deal. The Gnostics were teaching abstinence from some kind of food and some kind of drink, and you have to attend some kind of festivals or some kind of days. And so what they did when they captured a believer, they don't save anybody, they only capture or kidnap believers, they turn those believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ into a legalist. Let me give you the definition of legalism. Legalism is pursuing holiness by self-effort, and which turns Christ's finished work on the cross into legalism. In other words, if you want to be closer to God, if you really want to be a special believer, then all, you have to be careful about what you put into your mouth, or the days that you worship in and all the rest of it. So Paul the Apostle says, listen, don't sacrifice your freedom that you have in Christ for them. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 7, 19 and following about food and so forth? He said, it's not what goes into man. You want to eat a banana? That's not going to defile you. Amen? But it's what comes out of a man that makes that man unclean. Paul the Apostle writing to the church at Corinth, you know, remember how they sacrifice foods and to idols and so forth? Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 8:8. But food does not commend us to God, meaning food doesn't bring you close to God. Closer to the Lord, no matter what you're eating. He says, for whether we eat, we're not any better, nor if we don't eat, we're not the worse. Why? We're fully accepted by God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what a person eats now and even then, you know, doesn't affect your relationship with God. Amen? But here's the deal. Where did the Gnostics receive this kind of revelation? You see, they received it from the shadows. They received it from the spirit world. They received it by worshiping angels. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:1 of what's going to happen in the latter days, which is a form of Gnosticism, by the way. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, meaning true Christianity, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines or teachings of devils or demons. Now listen, demons are fallen angels. That scripture that I just read to you, loved one, is not about teaching about demons. It's teaching by demons. And you say, well, Bill, how is that? Through false teachers. Does that make sense? So if you read all of what I was going to read there, which I can't read it all because of our time this morning, Paul goes on and tells Timothy, he says, listen, they're going to turn their ears away from the truth, and they're going to be turned aside to fables or myths and fairy tales, forbidding to marry, here it comes, and commanding people to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. That's us, amen? Amen. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. Now, that is the things that are created by God. I don't think God created Velveeta cheese, okay? So you have to be careful and know the truth about those things. And if it's not to be refused, this any food, if it's received with thanksgiving, meaning God provided it, and for it is sanctified or set apart by God and by our prayers. So listen, dietary discipline, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing at all. We all should watch what we eat, amen? But not dietary legalism. That's a terrible thing. Listen, eating green beans. I knew a person that would eat green beans out of the can. That's all they ate. Every time I had green beans. And, you know, it was kind of like a spiritual thing for that person. But listen to me. Did you know that eating green beans will not make a person more spiritual? It's not going to make you closer to God. You are completely complete in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, you know, when it comes to diet, can I tell you what? That Jesus loves us. God loves you. If you're corpulent, or maybe, you know, corpulent, maybe rotund, plump, skinny, you know what I'm saying? He loves you, all right? Look at the next one. So let no one, here it comes, judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival, new moon, Sabbath. Okay, now the Sabbath, remember, was given only to whom? To Israel, not to us, no one else, no other nation, which are, watch this now, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now listen, a shadow. You know, I can put my hands out and you see my shadow on the floor right here? A shadow, there's no reality to the shadow. It's what's casting the shadow that is the real thing. Amen? Jesus is the substance. He is the real thing. We don't worship shadows. Amen? So when we start talking about food and so forth, you know, that's a shadow of our Lord. What did he tell us? Jesus said, I am, in John 6. He said, I am the bread of life. He goes on in John chapter 6 and he says, I am the living bread. Do you see the shadow and the reality? Jesus said, listen, if any man thirst, and in John chapter 7, I think verse 37, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And boy, out of his being will pour living water, rivers of living water, meaning the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? So you see the shadow and the reality. All these things, they point to the Lord. How about Passover? You know, Passover, Christians don't observe Passover. You know what I mean? We don't do that because why? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our Passover. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:7. So all those things were just a shadow. So that was kind of the legalism there. Now let's look at another 2,000-year-old warning from Paul about mysticism. Mysticism has to do with hidden secrets and hidden truths, and you experience the spiritual world or the dark side or whatever, and all of that is apart from God. He says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Paul starts out and he says, listen, to the believer in Colossae and to us today, don't let anyone cheat you. Don't let anyone rob you. Oh, listen, don't let anyone, not anyone at all, rob you of your reward or declare you unworthy of your reward. And how would that happen? By leading the believers into the worship of angels. You see, that's why it says taking delight in what kind of humility? False humility, bogus. It's bogus. It's not real humility. They pretended to be humble. No. He says, listen, the Gnostics, they taught that the universe was full of all these spirits, in which that is true. We know that from the book of Ephesians. But here's what they were saying. We're not really good enough to go directly to God. So, you know what, we just humble ourselves and we go to angels and they elevate our prayers up to God. So what did they do? They elevated the worship of angels above Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, attempting to reach God through anything, angels or anyone else except Jesus Christ is blasphemy. Amen? It's heresy. It's a wicked perversion. 2 Timothy 2:5. There is only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So angels, they were worshiping angels. Did you know that good angels refuse to be worshiped? And the Bible states that. Let me read to you Revelation 22:7. Jesus is speaking in this verse. He says, behold, I'm coming quickly. That's suddenly. And blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book, meaning the book of Revelation. He says, now I, John, he says, oh, he says, I saw and I heard these things, and when I heard and I saw them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me all these things. And the angel said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. And the angel says, worship God. Worship God. Don't worship angels. Don't worship saints. Don't worship Mary. Are you listening to me? Heresy. No, we worship only God. And then Paul uses this word, intruding, used only here in the New Testament, loved one. He says, intruding into those things which he has not seen. That word intruding was used by the mystery religions, if you will, teaching. The word means to enter into the secret place or enter into the secret shrine, okay? In other words, as you're worshiping those angels. Listen to me. A believer doesn't need a secret ceremony to enter the presence of God. Hebrews 4:16, amen? We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have that privilege because we're in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We don't need to go into the dark world to get some kind of hidden secrets from demons that Jesus has disarmed on the cross, amen? We don't need to do that at all. So they were, it says they're intruding into those things or investigating those things. See, the false teachers, they claimed, and I'm sure it happened, they had all these special visions of what the angels or the spirit world was literally teaching them, which enabled them to learn the secrets of that side, if you will. Now, it says they were vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. So these visions from the false teachers that they were sharing with the, trying to these make slaves out of the believers, it gave them the big head. Remember when Paul went up to heaven? Did Paul come back and brag about what he saw up there? No, but they did. They were boasting and giving every detail of it. So I want you to look at this now. This is very important because we're going someplace toward the end is when we're going to bring it all together. Look at this word. Where were they puffed up at? Their fleshly mind. Now listen, that's speaking of the intellectual faculty of their mind. The Gnostics taught higher thinking, higher reasoning then and right now in our midst, and few believers even realize it. Listen to the Gnostic then and in 21st century. The Gnostic, the mind was a god. Are you listening to me? It was a god. I don't know if you've ever studied out Gnosticism, which is with us today, or read any of the works. I read this week from G.R.S. Meade. He's called the greatest Gnostic that ever lived. He wrote a book, The Gnosis of the Mind in 1906, which is adored by Christian Gnosticism today. Let me just give you an excerpt. He says this, the channel of Gnosis, remember Gnosis means knowledge, that secret knowledge. He says the channel of Gnosis, the true initiation, is performed by the great initiator, the mind. And thus we're taught that the mind, the great initiator, is master of all masterhood, master of all ignorance as well as master of all knowledge. You see the heresy right there? Colossians 2:3, Jesus Christ is a sum of all total knowledge and wisdom in the world, in the universe, amen? He goes on and he says this. He says, those who are born, like born again, in the mind are taught by the mind, by every act and every thought and every sensation, meaning every feeling, however you feel. The mind eternally instructs the man through body, soul, and mind. For now the man begins to know through all of these. For he is changing from the little mind and soul and body that he was to the great body and the great soul and the great mind of a great man. He no longer seeks a teacher, for all things teach him, or rather, the one teacher teaches him through all. And all there is transforms itself for him into the nature of gnosis or knowledge. Loved one, that may have confused some of you, but I'm going to tell you something. That is where we are today in this world. Not us practicing it, but I'm letting you know. Listen, Gnostic mysticism that they were practicing then and today is demonic. It's of the devil. And it opens a door into a world that of all kinds of demonic activity. Listen, millions of people fall into it. You know, spiritism, mysticism, astrology, the study of letting the planets guide your life, tarot cards, you know what I'm saying? You've heard the story about my mother, how she died. You know, on Mother's Day, 1963, there we were talking and she played the tarot cards. That was her belief, right in front of me, boom, boom, boom. And she pulled up the one card that says, today you're going to die. She looked me right into the face and she said, Billy, I'm going to die today. I said, please. I'm being honest. I said, please. Those cards, why do you play those cards? An hour later, she was dead in a car wreck in Grand Prairie, Texas. You understand me? You know, there's demons behind that. Does that make sense? Well, it is real, loved one. See, the Gnostics believed then and the Gnostics believe now, or let's just say false teachers, this heresy. They believe that by going into the spirit world with this mysticism, it takes them to a higher reality, okay? But it doesn't. It literally takes a person to the very lowest reality. Look at verse 19. Watch that. It says here, and not holding fast the head. In other words, the Gnostics are false teachers. They lost their connection with life and with Jesus. Not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, look, we get our nourishment. We're all knit together, joints, ligaments. We grow with the increase that is from God, or the power that belongs to God. Listen, the source there. The head means source, origin. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the supreme soul head of the universe. Amen? And you lose your connection with him. Philosophy won't connect you. Legalism won't connect you. Special food, worship of angels, visions, whatever you want, it doesn't do it. They disconnected themselves from all life. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Now Paul moves from mysticism into asceticism, okay? Another warning. He says, therefore, if or since you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject or submit yourself to regulations or to rules, is what he's saying. In other words, Paul is saying, why in the world would you guys go back to pre-cross living? Before you were saved, what's wrong with you? You were dead, now you've been made alive in Christ. Why in God's name, Paul says, would you even think about, why would you be living from the world? Because you're no longer part of this world. He says, listen, he says, you know, Christianity is not keeping, look at it again, basic principles. Remember that word means elementary teachings or the ABCs, the kindergarten. He says, listen, he says, Christianity is not keeping little kindergarten rules. Christianity is Christ. Amen? Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, the founder of Christianity lives in us, the follower. Amen? That's what it's all about. He says, do not touch, don't taste. You know, don't even put a forbidden food or drink in your mouth. He says, and don't even handle, don't touch it or you're going to be defiled, okay? So physical self-denial. Asceticism, it teaches this, that they view the body as, the world is evil, the body could be evil. There's two different teachings, but I don't want to go into that right now. Here's the thing. They looked at the body as something that might or should be punished. That's still with us today. Did you know that? It's just in another form, loved one. No, someone said this, asceticism feeds the flesh by starving it. What a word. Look at verse 22. Which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. He says, these things that you're doing, they just perish. They grow. They corrupt. You use them and they go. They're corrupt. And he says, and not only that, these rules for perishable things, they're never going to help the inner man. They're never going to help you grow in Christ. He says, listen, these commands and teachings, they weren't given by God. They were given by men. And Paul says now in verse 23, he says, yeah, they all have an appearance of wisdom. In other words, they masquerade as wisdom, okay? He said, in self-imposed religion, the next one, in false humility, the next one, in neglect of the body, but look what he says. They are of no value against the restraining of the indulgence of the flesh. You know what self-imposed religion is? Self-imposed religion, loved one, is a worship that a person devises and prescribes for himself, but it doesn't accomplish one thing. The word there, neglecting the body, literally means this. Let me read it. Hard, severe treatment of the body. So asceticism, and I know I'm not pronouncing it exactly correct, but some words are hard for me to pronounce. Amen? They are. Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, does punishing the body change anything? No. I mean, I could slap myself all day long. It's not going to help me. You know, my mother slapped me when I was growing up. It still didn't help me. No, will it punishing the body? Will it change my heart? Will it remove my sinful nature? You cannot use flesh to eradicate flesh. Amen. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, this asceticism here and so forth. Those practices were popular then. And they're very, very popular even today. Did you know that you can make discipline a god? And that's what many do. Remember Martin Luther, the father, if you will, of the Protestant Reformation. Before he was really born again, he was a monk, okay? And listen, he was into punishing himself. It was horrible, the things that he would do. Let me just read a little bit what he did. He would lie naked in his cell all night long in bitter cold, and he would beat his body. He would torture himself trying to find peace of heart. Think about that. He would go up the steps and on his knees and pray until they were bleeding, trying to get God to love him, getting God to accept him. You understand? Remember what happened to him? Until one day, one scripture came alive in his heart and changed Martin Luther forever. And that was Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Amen? Just faith in the Word of God. God does love us. Amen? Now, so all of those things there. And look, it says the neglect of the body. Then and even around the world today, boy, this neglect was horrible. It was a quest for God. And they believed that, you know what, if I starve myself, God will love me. If I starve myself, or some of them would never bathe. Hello? They looked at bathing as a sin. Not only that, you know, some of them, you know, it was not uncommon, if you read history, biblical history, it's not uncommon that many of them in that day who practiced that, you know, that their entire body was a breeding ground for lice. And as they walked by, hundreds would fall off of them. And it was considered a special sign of holiness. Are you with me? Do you see the deception in that? Listen, there were those that would not speak sometimes for months, and there were those that would speak sometimes they would not speak for years. They would whip themselves, like I just said. They would starve themselves. They would go without sleep. And let me give you one of the greatest examples, and I'm probably going to pronounce his name wrong. His name is Simeon Stylites. Now, this is all factual. He spent 36 years of his life perched upon a pole, near Aleppo there in Syria. You follow me? For 36 years. Man, the Syrian sun just scorched him. All those horrible winters for 36 years. Little shepherd boys would send up goat's milk and flatbread to him if he desired to eat. 36 years. He just stayed right there. Do you know that he died on that pillar? 2 September 450, 459. A disciple of his found him, stooped over, it says, in prayer. And then they buried him right by the pillar. And that pillar became a church. Listen carefully. May 12, 2016, that pillar which was in the church there near Aleppo, guess what happened? A missile hit it. It's gone forever. I want to say something now. Listen carefully. Simeon or Simon, whichever is correct, he was sincere. Did you know that kings came to him? People from everywhere would come. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong, loved one. When we think about all that we're talking about, by the second century, Gnosticism now moved into the world and will never leave it. It is with us right today. Let me remind you of some of the things that they taught. The Gnostics taught that Adam was created without gender. And they taught that the ideal state on which one should aspire is, what's that word? How do you say it? And what?
Androgyny.
Thank you. Androgyny. In other words, androgyny, you're not really male or female, not masculine or feminine. In other words, where sexual identity was not only suppressed, you could even eliminate it. Now, today, this last 15, 20 years in our nation, you know what's been happening? Most people in the church, we don't really keep up with it because we don't read junk. You know what I'm saying? But the Gnostic Gospels, they've made movies about it even, is so popular. They've written books and, part of, I think, the Da Vinci Code and other things. All these things that have happened in our lifetime, they're so popular. Let me read to you what the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas states. It says, when you make the male and female into one, so that the male is not male and the female is not female, then you shall enter the kingdom of God. I want you to listen to me now. I know that I probably are going to catch a lot of flack over about what I'm saying right now, but I say it with an honest heart and a pure conscience and a heart that's full of love for people. I'm going to tell you something. In 2008, our nation, we entered into the darkest darkness that we have ever experienced. And look, if you'll remember what I said, and if you can go back and listen to the sermons then, I said, our nation has opened a door that we will never be able to close. Loved one, listen, modern day Gnosticism is rampant in our country. You know, we're living in a day of progressive Christianity, which is really nothing more than a Gnostic line. Our marriage has been not only redefined among progressive Christianity, but it's been welcomed. Look at all the churches today that welcome and even practice same-sex marriage. Are you following me? It's happening right now. Listen, progressive Christianity, it teaches this. It's first of all, it's modern pop theology, if you will. It's liberal Christianity. But listen to me now. It is rooted in the enlightenment of thinking, meaning the mind. That's the modern day heresy that we're in right now. You know what they've done if you study it out? Number one, progressive Christianity, they have lowered the view of the Bible. Lowered it. Not only that, we're talking about heresy. You know what they've done? The essentials of the faith, the essential doctrines of Christianity, they have now opened up for reinterpretation. Meaning, Jesus' death didn't really atone for the sins of the world. Jesus' death was merely martyrdom. Are you following me? And why they have the word Christianity there is completely beyond me. Not only that, the gospel now to them has shifted. It's no longer about sin and redemption. It's now a social gospel. Do you understand? And one that hurts me more than any. Let me just read it to you. They have redefined what the love is in God's word. something love never fails, that God has embedded, made alive in my heart. Here's what they say. Love means accepting and embracing whatever a person wants you to accept and embrace. That is not Bible or biblical love. Amen? That is not that at all, loved one. If you ever read the book, I pray that you didn't, but in 2019, the progressive Lutheran minister, Nadia Weber, wrote a book called, about sexuality, called this, Shameless, A Sexual Reformation. And in it, she argued that the idea that sex should be between one man and one woman within the covenant of marriage of your life was not only incorrect, it was harmful. And I could mention some of the very prominent, and you might even watch them on TV, you might even read their books, but I'm not going to mention their names, the prominent leaders who not only endorsed this book, but loved one, man, listen, they're all in favor of this gender dysphoria, the things that's going on, same-sex marriage and everything which is in so many churches today. One of the key things, the key goals of progressive Christianity in our nation today, right this very minute, is to change the church's, all the church's mind on same-sex marriage. You say, Bill, you're boring me. I pray I'm not, because I'm going to tell you something. Our nation is in trouble. You can say, well, Bill, you're depressing. No, I'm being honest. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I will never do that. Listen, you know, I just read an incredible article by Abigail Shear. She's the author of Damage, or Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. You know, we are living in a time where our young people, they're obsessed over identity. Do you understand? It's heartbreaking. And let me tell you what she said. She said, gender identity run amok. This is going to break your heart. In 2007, now that was 1 year before 2008, when our president opened the door to hell. You understand? It says, in 2007, America had one pediatric gender clinic. Just one. Think about that. In 2007, we would have never thought about this stuff. Are you listening to me? One clinic. And listen, there are people that go through this that are suffering, and we need to love people, amen, and help them. But there was only one clinic. She says, today, there are hundreds of clinics. She goes, how did America get to this point? How can a 13-year-old girl in Washington State begin gender-affirming therapy without her parents' consent? Or a 15-year-old in Oregon undergoing top surgery, which means elective double mastectomy, without her parents' permission? That's where we are. That's where we are right now. Where is this gender dysphoria? Where is it coming from? Why are some schools in Texas and other places, Virginia, and making it a policy that teachers call trans kids, using the proper name now, their new name, using the proper pronouns? Why is it? Listen, let me give you a fact. Prior to 2012 in America, there was no scientific literature on gender dysphoria for teenage girls. Think of that. None at all. No. And why is our nation treating all of this same-sex marriage and the gender identity crisis and all these things? Why are we treating it as a political issue? Do you understand me? And I go, dear God, listen to this statistic. This will break your heart. There has been in the United Kingdom in a decade increase, 10 years, over 4,400% in the number of teenage girls seeking treatment. Think about that. And I say, dear Lord, why is this all going on? Why have I talked to the youth pastors? Raul, where's Raul? And we talked months ago. I said, we've got to learn what's going on. We've got to investigate. We've got to become knowledgeable, because we're not going to let our kids. Amen. You know, why is all this happening? I'll tell you why. Number one, it's the devil. But it's the church that is embracing these Gnostic heresies, this modern-day Gnosticism. Let me read to you from another Gnostic gospel that is popular today, the Gospel of Thomas. Simon Peter said to them, "Hey, let Mary," that's the mother of Jesus, "Mary, leave us, for women are not worthy of life. Even Jesus said, 'I myself shall lead her,' in order to make her a male, so that she too may become a living spirit resembling males. For every woman who will make herself a male will enter the kingdom of heaven." We are living in a time right now of modern day Gnosticism. And we must expose this kind of heresy, loved one. Listen, I mean, you know, a person can not only create their identity, they can literally erase their identity. And I say, oh God, what's happening? See, ancient Gnosticism, it hasn't disappeared because it's the controlling lie of our culture right this minute. And you know what Gnosticism teaches today? Let me read it. That you can discover your true identity within. Earlier in the sermon, I read from Mead, the modern-day Gnostic. Let me read it again. Who said, "The mind eternally instructs the man through the body, soul, and his mind." Meaning what? Meaning all of your inner feelings. It teaches, and even you look within. You can find freedom inside. You know, the source of self is always looking within. I say this with the most absolute tenderest love that I know how to do it. And I know that there's going to be radio listeners and people that are going to bash me and say, you know, you're a transphobe or have phobia against trans or whatever that is. And that's not true. I've led trans people to the Lord. Man, tell me that. When I think of a 5-year-old boy, "Mama, I don't feel the mind." Are you with me? Gnosticism. I don't feel within me that I'm a boy. I feel like I'm a little girl. We should weep. Weep. We should be on our faces before the living God. I look and I say, oh God, listen, today I can't even imagine a child can chart their own spiritual evolution. Mom and Dad just get in agreement with it. You know, not only that, you know, you can not only create a new identity, you can erase your original identity from birth. And that's where we are. I want you to take a good look, loved one, where we are, because there was a shift in the heavenlies. Remember when I told you that? Listen, our American culture, you know what we're witnessing right now? Our society is in illusion, not in reality. There's a revolution going on against true reality. And you know what America is doing? They're walking only in shadows. They're not walking in the real thing. Does that make sense? And the deception there. And listen, I say again, with deep tenderness and love, you guys that have been with me all these years in 2008, what did I tell you? I told you, I sat there and I said, listen, oh, you guys, I said, the whole corporate church, the whole corporate world, they're all, the church, all upset. Yeah, same-sex marriage has been passed, redefined. Everybody was upset. 2 weeks later, nobody cared. Come on. That's exactly what I said was going to happen. And you know what? That opened a can of worms from the devil. And that's what we're experiencing right now. You remember what I told you? I said, same-sex marriage, the oldest institution in the world, has been redefined, and it is here to stay. Is it with us? Yes. I want you to listen now. 13 years have now passed. And all the church does is talk about the movement, the transgender movement. I want to tell you something. It's here to stay. Isn't that heartbreaking? The new gender frontier has arrived. Do you know there are right now over 64 terms that describe gender identity? 64 different genders that people say, well, I'm this or I'm that or I'm this or I'm this or whatever. Do you see where we're going? The whole world is being groomed for the Antichrist, loved one. I'm going, oh God, listen, do you know what happened? This is August in June. You ready for this one? June. The country's largest group of physicians recommends removing male and female on all United States birth certificates. Listen, what's wrong with us? No, really. You know, what is really wrong? 50% of the church didn't return. And that's okay. Praise the Lord. Go wherever you, but at least go someplace. I'm not worried about it. But I look around and I say, listen, you know, are we praying? What are we really doing? Well, Bill, you're putting me under the law. No, we're under grace, but we have a responsibility. Jesus told us that the night is coming when no man can work. We're to do business until he comes. You know, I'm looking today, here we are. I mean, listen, our teachers, they're working all night long preparing for Monday, for tomorrow, the opening of the school. You know, that is what I call diligence. Do you support the school? You should support the school. Do you understand me? I mean, so many Christians now, they don't give a dime to God anymore, but they take everything. They don't mind having big homes and big cars, but they don't give it. They have a little bitty heart when it comes to giving unto the Lord. And I'm not beating people for not giving. That's, you stand before God, not me. But we need to support. If we're not going to be one together, one man, one army, we're in trouble. We've got to come together. There's something wrong today in the church when politics is more important than Jesus Christ. There's something wrong today when Christians hop from one church to another. There's something wrong when Christians, I'm not forgiving. You know what? You better forgive because it's a command. You belong to Christ. How much of the cross are you going to carry? Just a little bit? Listen, you say, well, Bill, what is the answer? There's only one answer. There's only one thing we can do. Is your Bible open? Look at it. Look at chapter 3. It says, then you were raised with Christ. What are we to do? We're not to go into the secret place. We're not to seek angels. Seek those things which are above. There is our answer. Amen. Seeking those things which are above. It says, why? Because that's where Jesus is. Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your total mind, on things above, not on things on this earth. Why? Well, you died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's what the church must do. And not only that, the church must seek God, and then we must become fishers of men all over again. We have to get our priorities right. If we do, I'm going to tell you, just like I told you in 2008, if we do nothing, if we're not going to be salt, we're the only salt in the earth. We're the only light of the world. No one else can claim that in the universe except Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you are the only light. He said that to peasants and poor people and farmers and so forth. He said, oh no, you're the light. Well, we have to be the light again. We have to come back together. That's why next week's message, I won't be in Colossians, is so vital and so important. And where we're going. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this word and this day. And Lord, I'm sure I offended many, but Lord, you'll take care of that. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. Set a fire in our hearts. Set us ablaze. Set this church ablaze. Lord, it's over. It is over. You are coming back for us. Lord, be with us now and let us glorify Jesus in this place and in this city and in this state and across the airwaves and across the internet. Use Calvary Chapel, Lord. We kneel our hearts to you. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need prayer, there'll be people to pray with you when the song is over. If you're visiting with us, you might not want to come back and visit with me. But if you would like to come back and visit with me, they do have a free gift back there for you in the welcome in the main lobby, and I would love to meet you as well. It's time. It's time. Amen. It's time, church. Amen. I love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord.